Thankful for that desire tonight. Amen. We've got several prayer requests tonight. We'll just go ahead and take these, and then I'll ask Brother Terry, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these needs. First request, Brother Jeff Nunley has pneumonia. I'd like to remember him in prayer. Also for Pinky and Phyllis and Jerry and Linda Phillips. All four of those have got a respiratory virus, not feeling well. Also for Levi Lunsford, sick tonight, running a He's got a fever of 103, so let's pray for him. I'm sure he's feeling rough. Letting you know that Sister Daisy Rice has been moved to Colonial Hills Nursing Home on the Bristol Highway. She's in room 115, so I'm sure she'd appreciate visits. Brother Jerry Glenn would like us to continue to pray for his wife, Deanna. She's home with bronchitis. So Brother Stuart Green had to go to work sick. Also, they're doing layoffs at work, praying he is not laid off. And he wants to request prayer for friends that they have already laid off. This is, please remember in prayer tonight, and I'm unable to be in the service due to a sinus infection. That's from Brother Byron Palmer. And also, we want to remember Brother Kevin Keith in the hospital, I think. Is it Friday? Now, on this Friday, he's scheduled to have a valve replacement. So, open heart surgery, that'll be a big ordeal. So, let's remember Brother Kevin for just a, God will be with him in that recovery. Sister Rachel Estep is back in service with us, so we'd like to thank the Lord for that. Appreciate her getting to be with us in the service tonight. Sister Sue Miller would like for us to pray for Roger, her husband. He's been sick with the flu since last Friday, still not feeling well, has a bad cough. Dad's brother, Lane Young Kent's brother, Ed Yontz, admitted to the hospital today with pneumonia and dehydration. Dad went and saw him today and said he was pretty weak and sound like pretty serious condition. So let's remember him. Remember my 92-year-old mother, Eleanor Maxwell. She fell Sunday, broke her hip, and cracked her elbow. She underwent surgery on Monday and is recovering in the hospital in Nashville. That's from Brother Jim Maxwell. So we'll sure be praying for your mother. Pray for Ron Wade for fever. He's got a urinary infection. Sister Jan Winter's sick, upper respiratory. She requests your prayer. Someone's turned in, though there's no name, just have an urgent unspoken prayer request. Also, priest, pray for my grandson, Rusty McKinley. He's in the hospital. That's from Sister Joanne Tessa. She wants everybody to know that she loves him and just asks for prayer. Please remember a little 2-year-old girl named Quinn. She's having brain surgery this evening. And as of around 5 p.m., she'd been in surgery about 6 hours. So let's remember that child and that family. Also, please pray for Amy Henley, has severe back pain. So let's remember her. And then Brother Samuel Shuffler has a testimony. He wanted to thank the Lord that sometime back, riding his bike on the way to church, on the long highway downward, the small truck that was going to pass him and turn off into a driveway, saw him at the last minute, jerked out of the way, and said if he hadn't have saw him and been able to avoid him, that he knows he'd been paralyzed or killed. And just he loves the Lord and wants to thank the Lord for looking after him. So appreciate the Lord looking after you there. If we'll stand this evening, Brother Terry comes to take these needs to the Lord.
Thank you, Brother. So good we get to go to church tonight again. Where would we be in just such an uncertain hour? We get to hear the word of the Lord, confirm our testimony. It's just wonderful. We still have the privilege and freedom to go to church. Won't always be this way. Let us take advantage of every time we have. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We're so thankful that we do have this another privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, this is such an hour of great questions. Think about what the prophet told us in Christ is a mystery. He said, we have the answer to the devil's question. We have the answer, but what was the devil's question? And we know what his question was. He told us that, where is Jesus Christ? And the reason the devil has always had trouble finding Christ, because he's always hid, veiled behind flesh. And he can't find him today. He really doesn't know. But I'm thankful, Lord, that you've always desired to be hid behind skins and flesh, and you're veiled within us. And we're thankful, Lord, that the many, many wonderful secrets that you've whispered to your bride, yet the enemy doesn't even know these things, even the half-hour silence and the coming of the Lord, the different things. Lord, but we have been so privileged that you love us so much, and you've given us understanding of these things, how thankful we are. Lord, one thing that I'm so thankful, I still have a desire to come to the house of the Lord. Lord, I have a desire to hear your word and to worship you and to listen to the word of God. And Lord, I pray especially for Brother Donnie tonight. I understand he's been sick. I pray, God, you just continue to be with him, encourage his heart. Lord, touch his body, make him well. Each one of these prayer requests that I hold in my hand, dear Lord, many sickness among the people tonight. some small, some great, some very, very serious, especially Brother Kevin Keith, to have open heart surgery Friday. Lord, may the hand of God be with him. I know, Lord, you could replace that valve. You could make the valve altogether new before he even has to go. But Lord, if it should be your will to let the doctors do surgery, replace it, guide the hand of the surgeon. May he use wisdom, Lord, and may you be the great guider and deliverer as he does. And each one that's in the house of the Lord tonight, as our brother brings the word of the Lord, I pray God you'd anoint him to speak. May we pull on the gift of God. May we say it's been good to be in the house of God, whether it be just a handful or 50. Lord, I don't have a question whether it's time on Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday. Should I go to church? Is my pastor going to be there or not? That's not a question. The Holy Ghost is going to be there, so I'm going to be there. So, Lord, that's settled in my heart. We don't have to worry. But it just kind of saddens my heart that not everybody has that revelation. But, Lord, you have a group. You have some that still love you, still desire to be in the house of God. I'm thankful for that. These people here that are here tonight. Touch everyone. Heal each one. The names have been read. The names have been mentioned. You know all about it. We ask that you would manifest your divine will in their life. Lord, as we worship you tonight, may you receive glory. Knowing our brother, as I said, and may it be a spiritual food in due season as we look to you in the further part of the service. We'll give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight. Well, as I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? I said I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low that says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed to rage and sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed, and I gave you peace. Let's see that chorus one more time. I want to sing that chorus one more time. And before we do, I was just looking at the words there on the chorus. He said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed, and I gave you peace. I'm just wondering how many of you have had something, some sort of wind, some sort of torment, some sort of fear in your life that you called on the Lord. And he's hushed the thing for you. That tormenting spirit, demon, fear, worry, whatever it was, guilt, something that you couldn't be forgiven for something you've done, that the price had already been paid for, he hushed that wind in your life. So we're going to sing that chorus again. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I usually let you sit. But if that's your testimony tonight, you've experienced that, I'd like for you to stand your feet, raise your hands. Let's sing that to him tonight. And he said, I walked on the water. I come. I spoke to your wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you would have called. Searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Sing that verse. He said, do you remember?
Do you remember, child, where I brought you from?
I do.
Just take a look behind you, see how far you come. Every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through?
But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to rescue? Didn't I hear? Beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched till I found you, and I do it all again. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Appreciate that. The brothers would like to come tonight and lift the offering. Let's sing Daystar. Daystar F. I'm sorry, I do a lot of songs that are specials that we've sort of turned into congregationals, but I think everybody knows these songs and we can sing them. Just some of my favorite songs. Just sing with me tonight.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight.
Sorry.
Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light, heaven's light. Day star, shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. tonight. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. They're groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes, loving eyes. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. Let your let's sing that chorus together. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up any door, let your words speak to me. Show in the night. Sing that second verse. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. Lord, they're groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. Oh, but then I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes, in your eyes. your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. Let your word speak to me. Show your love shine through me in the night.
Amen. Brother Mac Carter. Brother Mac Carter, do you have a song for us tonight? Just pray for Brother Mac as he comes to sing for us.
I have traveled on some highways, and in truth, I'd rather not gone down. In need I look for some I thought were friends, but they could not be found. I almost lost my faith, my hope, my mind. I nearly lost it all. So I put it on the altar, and I say it's just the cost of the call. And I don't regret a tear that I shed, or a single path I've trod. And today you can take away this whole world. Just give me my God. On the scale of forever, every sacrifice I made seems so small. So I put it on the altar, and I say it's just the cost of the call. Now I read about a man of long ago, much advantage in his life, but he counted it as nothing and suffered for the cause of Christ. Shipwrecked and beaten and in prison, God's hero, the great apostle Paul. But he counted it as zero and gladly paid the cost of the call. Now there's no way that those who are not called can understand those who are. They do not hear the sound of that trumpet, are affected by that storm. Though the quest outweighs the questions, oh, but the destination's worth more than it all. So I put it on the altar, and I say it's just the cost of the call. Now there's no way that those who are not called can understand those who are. They do not hear the sound of that trumpet, are affected by that seventh star. And the quest outweighs the questions, but the destination's worth more than it all. So I put it on the altar, and I say it's just the cost of the call. Yes, I put it on the altar, and I say it's just the cost of the call.
Appreciate that song tonight. If you'd like to stand tonight, Brother Andrew is going to come back and preach for us again. I know that was just a wonderful time last time he spoke to us. And one of his uncles, I won't name any names because Tim will kill me after church. But we were so worried about Andrew, we thought this big crowd and all that going on, bless his heart, and we were nervous. So I couldn't wait till church was over to call Tim just to laugh at us a little bit for worrying for nothing. But he's got a great gift, and I appreciate him coming and letting the Lord use him that way. So looking forward to that tonight. Let's sing, "Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary," as Brother Andrew comes to speak to us. And Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving.
Believe it tonight.
Amen.
That we can be a living sanctuary in this hour. Amen. To serve a living God.
Amen.
That's a great thing, is it not?
Yes,
amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. God, we thank you, Father, for your word, Lord. We thank you tonight, God, for your blessings of life, Father, that you have blessed us with, Lord. God, we thank you for so much you've done for us, Lord, and how you bring us through trial after trial and test after test. Lord, you heal us when we're sick, Father. You're so good to us. And Lord, we just want to take this time tonight and say thank you for it, Lord. God, we pray that you'd come in this service tonight, God, by your power, and strengthen us tonight, Lord. Lord, I've studied and looked at these things, but unless you come tonight, God, and anoint me, Father, but not only anoint me to preach, but anoint your believers to receive it tonight, God. Lord, we've gathered in vain, but yet, Lord, we know if you come, it will be here for a good cause, Lord. Come tonight, we pray. Touch Brother Donnie tonight, Lord, sick in body, I pray, God. Heal him, Lord, raise him back up, Father, for your honor and glory, we pray tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you all. If you have your Bibles, We'll go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I want to say we appreciate Brother Donnie for giving us this opportunity to stand here once again, and appreciate him, and trust something will be said tonight that will help you and encourage you. Amen. And strengthen you, for that's our desire tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." May God add the blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated tonight. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. If the Lord will help us tonight, by the help of the Lord, I just want to speak to you on a simple thought of don't look back. Don't look back. You know, those scriptures we read tonight, they're telling us of a grand thing, amen, of a going home day. And it tells us that if we'll stick with the race and finish our race, that we will receive a reward, amen. And I believe tonight that the believer has been called to stick with the race that God has set before him. Now, Brother Branham said in a message, he said, wherever Jesus goes, go with him. Amen. Wherever Jesus goes, go with him. Now, when he says this, he's not saying this something just to be saying something. I believe he said it for us to believe it. Amen. Wherever Jesus goes, go with him. Now, if you study on a little bit further, Brother Branham says, if he leaves the church you're in, go with him. Amen. He said, if he leaves the Branham Tabernacle, go with him. Amen. And I believe tonight that this is the hour to go with Jesus. Amen. I believe this is the hour, amen, to move forward. Amen. We can move backwards and be in the same old slump condition, or we can move forward in Christ. Amen. He said we are here to receive orders and not just hear them, but to act upon them. Amen. Hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word of God. Amen. That's what changes our very beings. Amen. That's what takes us into what God wants us to be. Now, he says, before you ever make a move, you've got to make a decision. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Amen. He said in Israel, Kadesh Barnea, he said, when you're standing before the judge, you've got to make up your mind. And tonight, the Branham Tabernacle's got to make up its mind. We're either going to go on or go back. That's right. You're going back to garlic and leek, talking about the children of Israel. You're going back to garlic and leek and stuff of Egypt, or you're going on with angel's food to the promised land where God made a promise. Amen. Amen. He said, you're going to an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival, or you'll be wishy-washy, packing around and pecking like a robin on an apple until the day you die.
Amen.
He said, you've got to make a decision. Amen. You can't go on this way. He said, why halt you between two opinions? That's what Elijah said. He said, why halt you between two opinions, said Elijah. If God be God, serve him. And if he's not God, then don't serve him. Amen. But you've got to make a decision, friends. Amen. This was a time, if you look back at this was a time when the people had forgot who God was. Amen. The prophets of Baal were there trying to prove that Baal was God. They were trying to say that Baal's God, worship Baal. But Elijah came on the scene and he said, God, if God be God, serve him, and if Baal be God, serve him. But why halt you between two opinions? The time has come to make a decision. Amen. Amen. I believe tonight that we can go right back to where Brother Branham stood and he talked about this. Amen. And our Elijah came in this day. Amen. When there was a time between people didn't know which God to go with, who to follow, who to serve. Amen. They didn't know if the Pope was God or who was God. And a prophet of God came on the scene and said, why halt you between two opinions? Amen. It's time to make a decision, friends. Amen. Amen. The people said, well, there's a holy people. Amen. There's a holy father. There's a holy mountain. But Brother Branham came on the scene and said, there is no holy people. There is no holy mountain, but there's a holy God, and we'll serve him. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but we're going forward tonight. Amen. He said, if God be God, serve him. If he's not God, then don't serve him. Amen. Now he's talking about the children of Israel here. Do you remember in the Bible where he talks about that they went into the land, that Moses sent spies into the land to come back and tell the people? Amen. And he comes back and he tells Caleb, and he comes before him, and they've got the report of the land. They say there is a land. Amen. If you really study that, you can type it right back to this day. They said there is a land. Amen. They even brought back the fruit of the land, but they came back with a negative testimony and said, but there is a land, but the walls are too great and the giants are too big. There's no way we can take this land. But one 80-year-old man stood up.
and said, give me my mountain. Amen. Amen. He was determined to take what God had ordained for him to have. Friends, whether you realize it or not, God has allotted an inheritance for his believers. And we can sit here and let it pass us by. Or we can rise up and take a hold of it and walk into it, brother. Why? Because we've made our decision. Amen. Amen. Somebody that's wishy-washy, they never made a decision. They don't know. One day they're up, one day they're down. One day they're serving God, the next day they're lost. But a real, genuine, hallelujah, born-again believer knows who's called him. He knows who saved him. And he's going forward with God. Numbers chapter 11, verse 5, they talk about, as we was looking at this today, it talks about looking backwards. They said, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Amen. Here they remember what they had. But what they had was not worth what they was going for. Amen. What they had, it was good. It satisfied them. But they had something better to go to, friends. Amen. Look around at this world. It's falling apart by the day. Amen. People's losing their minds by the day. People's going totally insane by the day. Is this what we want to live for? Is this our hope? No, friends. We've got a better place to go to. Hallelujah. We got a better place to move to. It's been God orchestrated for his bride. Amen. That's what the devil wants to do to you. The devil wants to say, you remember when you had the cucumbers? You remember when you had the melons and the leeks? They were in a trying time. They were in a very trying time. But they had to keep pressing forward. They could not stop. They had to keep moving forward. Amen. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to point you back and pull you back and say, don't you remember what you used to have? Don't you remember what you used to have when you served me? What did we have that was worth having when we served the devil? Anything at all, friends? No, sir. Amen. He says, I've heard people make this statement before. The worst day you've had serving God still beats the best day you had living for the devil. I believe that, friends. Amen. The worst trial you've ever had and the worst situation you ever went through, it still beats the best day we ever had serving that old liar, friends. Amen. As I begin to think of this thought, I heard a song. And I believe God can speak through songs. It was a song that says, I've come too far. It says, I've come too far to look back again. There's nothing behind me. All the pleasures I used to love have all faded from view. There's a new day ahead for me. My heartache is over, you see. I left it at Calvary where my new life began. Amen. There's nothing worth going back for, friends. It says, I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valleys. I've climbed mountains and crossed rivers, desert places I've known. But I'm nearing the home shore. Hallelujah. I'm nearing the home shore. Do you believe it tonight? The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. Amen. The song says, look around, there's unhappiness. Some see no reason for living. Life will give you a broken dream full of heartache and fear. Turn around. Don't look back again. Face the new day before you. Place your heartache in Jesus' hand. He will mend your broken dreams. Amen. I believe that tonight, friends. Amen. I believe tonight if there's ever been a time we need to get focused, it's now. There's too many distractions around us. In St. Luke chapter 17, verse 32, Jesus tells us three words. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. What was so significant about Lot's wife that Jesus in St. Luke 17 would say, remember Lot's wife. Are you with me tonight? Remember Lot's wife. Listen, in Genesis 13 and 12, we see that Abraham and Lot separate. Amen. And Abraham, it says in Genesis 13, 12, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And I believe tonight that God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. Amen. It calls for total separation. Now he says in wisdom versus faith, Abraham and Lot. Lot was a religious man, type of the formal church. But as long as Lot was with Abraham, he journeyed for years with him. But God would not bless him till he fully obeyed him and separated himself from Lot, the denominational church. He said, then as soon as Abraham separated himself and come out to walk alone, God said, now Abraham, stand up. When he separated himself from Lot, the type of the formal church member, he come away from Lot. God said, now Abraham, stand up, look east, west, north, south. Said, it's all yours. It's all yours. But he didn't do it until he fully separated himself. That's exactly right. Now, why did Abraham have to separate himself from Lot? Brother Branham teaches us that Lot had still had a desire for the world in his heart. Amen. He still had a desire to do the things of the world. And then Miss Lot had a desire at the same time. Amen. But God called for a separation, friends. Amen. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to keep you bound down to creeds and bound down to this situation and bound down to this trial. But if you can ever rise above it, friends. Hallelujah. If you can ever rise above it and separate yourself from it, there's a blessing in separating. Notice Abraham was under a tree. This was the heart of Abraham, under a tree crying out when Lot. Under a tree crying out for Lot. God have mercy. Oh friends, Lot chose to go to the well-watered plains of Sodom. Brother Adam said Abraham did the Christian thing and gave Lot a choice. Which one do you want to go to? And of course, of all the places Lot chose was the well-watered plains of Sodom, friends. And Brother Adam said Abraham stood there in the dry, barren ground. He stood there in the dry, barren ground. He did not want to be exited from the presence of the living God. Are you with me? We see in Genesis 19:1 that two angels went to Sodom to bring Lot and his wife and daughters out. Notice what the angel told them in Genesis 19:17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Yeah. Escape for thy life, he said. Look not behind thee. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain. Lest thou be consumed. Now Genesis 19:26. But listen what Miss Lot done. When they had a personal visitation from an angel that come to them and gave them demands and gave them orders and strict orders. Are you with me tonight? Come out of Sodom. God sent angels down there to bring them out of Sodom, friends. He sent two angels, and our prophet said in this day that there was two angels sent back to Sodom in this hour. Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. Huh? I heard last night Brother Branham said, just a few days ago I got word that people were splicing my tapes and cutting my tapes and making it sound like I said Oral Roberts and Billy Graham was in Sodom. He said, I never said that. God knows my heart, I didn't say that. He said, I said they were messengers to Sodom. Huh? But listen what Miss Lot done. But his wife looked from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. She looked from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Now notice Brother Branham says God has a provided way. God with his messenger told Lot and his wife and the children, don't even look back. Don't even look back. And Lot, wife with her own children and grandchildren burning in the judgments of God. A mother. Amen. Brother Branham said she had a lot more to turn back to here than we do. She heard the cries of her grandchildren and her children burning up in that sodomite condition with the judgments of God, he said, and just turned her head slightly. The Bible don't even say she turned to go back. It just said she turned her head slightly. And she was cursed to a pillar of salt. He said, you've got to keep every word of it. Jesus in St. Luke 17, while revealing the conditions of the time when the Son of Man was to be revealed, he reminds us of who? Lot's wife. So if he reminds us of Lot's wife, what was so significant about Lot's wife? To put her, when he says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. What was so significant? She looked back. Can we all say amen one time together tonight? She looked back. Amen. The devil knows he can't get many of us with smoking and drinking. So he is trying his best to get you to turn around and doubt one word of God. Just doubt one word. Are you with me tonight? Amen. We live in a time where the devil is fully coming to his deceitful works. It's coming to a head, friends. It's being manifested. Just last week, I believe it was, they're calling for all the denominations to unite and come together. It's a uniting time, friends. They're uniting for tribulation and we're uniting for a rapture. Hallelujah. They're uniting to go through the tribulation period. But the prophet of God said, you'll never convince me that this bride goes through a tribulation. She'll go in a rapture. Hallelujah, friends. Oh my, that'll make you say amen to the word. To know we're not going through a tribulation. We're going in a rapture, friends. Hallelujah. What greater thing could we live for? What greater thing could we press for than to make the rapture? Just doubt one word. Brother Branham says in the church age book, the sign of the true prophet. Notice, the sign of the true prophet to this age. There's supposed to be a prophet in this age. Not according to what everybody says, but according to the word of God, there is to be a prophet in this age. And I take the word of God over people's opinion. The sign of the true prophet to this age is that he won't deviate from that word for a moment. Not by one iota. Oh, friend. He won't deviate from that word for one moment. Not by one iota. You understand that? Do you see how easy it would have been for our prophet to kind of change things? To keep popularity with the people. To keep fame with the people. To stay in with the denominational churches. But it was a call to his life not to change that word. To preach the word in spite of what people say. In spite of what denominations say. Stay with that word, brother. That was our prophet's commission. And that's our commission. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Stay in the middle and stay with the word, brother. You realize how easy it would have been for Brother Branham when he preached the mighty conqueror was Jesus, the white horse rider, to come back. Well, we'll just cover that up and hide it under a rug. I don't want people to see that I made a mistake, so we'll just cover that under the rug. No, sir. Our prophet come before the people and said, I almost made the greatest mistake of my ministry. Friends, if a prophet can admit he almost made a mistake, can't we admit sometimes we almost made a mistake, or we did make mistakes, or we did fall short of the glory of God? But the grand thing about it is God never leaves us. He stays right with us. He keeps us in the hollow of his hand. He keeps pressing us on. Move on, bride. Move on. Yes, you failed me, but I forgive you of your sin. Yes, you come short of the glory, but I forgive you. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and move forward. Amen. They come back to Caleb, and they said, there is a land. There is a land, and there's a fruit of the land. They brought back the evidence of the land. But now they come back and said, here is the land, look at it. 40 days searching out the land, and they come back with assurance. They come back with assurance, not even believing that they could even take it. Huh? They came back and said, Moses, Caleb, there is a land. Here's some grapes. Brother Adam said, I can imagine they reached over and picked up a handful of grapes and brought them and showed them to the people. Are you with me? Here's the land. Here's evidence of land. Can you imagine as they sit there looking at them grapes? They only had enough for a certain group of people. And if they wanted the grapes, they had to go get them themselves. So they're sitting there looking at them grapes, and you can imagine their mouths watering. Oh, I'd love to get a bite of them grapes. And they're getting all fired up. They've just been to youth camp. They've just been to convention. They've been to missionary meeting, and they're all fired up. There's a land. Glory to God, we're going to take this land. They're coming back to tell us how to take the land, and they come back to tell them how they couldn't take the land. They had to make a decision. Are we going to listen to the lying vanities? Are we going to sit here and stay bound and look at... Are we going to look at what we can possess? Or are we going to get up and get it for ourselves? Hallelujah. Friends, tonight we can sit here and preachers can show you deliverance. They can show you healing. They can show you victory. You can sit there and look at it. But it takes somebody to stand up and go after it, brother, sister. Somebody will stand up and take it by force. Huh? So here they're telling them that they're the land. Here's all this stuff. But you can't take it. Why can't we take it? Huh? If you look at this closely, there was a time that people really didn't know if there was a heaven or a hell or a purgatory or where they were going. They come through the dark ages. Right, Brother Branham said, I believe it's 325 A.D. That's when the Roman Catholic Church changed the name of water baptism to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Huh? But what happened? A prophet came on the scene and said, there's one Lord. There's one baptism. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're ever going to set foot on the streets of glory, you must come God's provided way. Huh? They didn't know where they were going. Well, I've heard if I die in sin and I'm not saved, I'll go to purgatory and somebody will pray me out of it. Somebody will buy my way out of it. Nonsense, friends. Nonsense, friends. In those times, people were confused. Just as there was people went in and come back and told them there's a land. People die. They try to write books about heaven. This is what it's like. This is what we've done. Heard a man the other day say he couldn't wait to go to heaven because he loved to swim. He could keep on swimming in heaven. Is that really what you're pressing to get to heaven for, is to go swimming? There's plenty enough water around here to go swimming in. Huh? Really? I want to go to heaven for more than that, friends. Some people just want to go to heaven to escape hell. The bride don't want to go to heaven to escape hell. She wants to go to heaven to see her husband, friends. She wants to go to heaven to see her husband, her creator, her maker. Hallelujah. So here they're trying to say there's a land and all this stuff. Is it purgatory? And a prophet of God went beyond the curtain of time and come back and said, contrary to popular belief, there is a land. Oh, friends, as Moses and Caleb sit there and heard about their land, as we sit here and the ministers of God study and get things to bring to the people, they are bringing you evidence of the land. They are bringing you fruit of the land, and they're hanging it before you and saying, do you want to go? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, friends, but there's a longing on the inside of my heart. There's a longing down deep inside of me that knows there is a land. that knows that we can possess the land, and by the grace of God and the strength and the help of Almighty God, there will be a group of people in this dark Laodicea age that'll rise up and take the land. Hallelujah. We'll take the land.
But we won't take it by turning around and going back. Move forward. Can I go on?
In the first church age, the Ephesian church age, Brother Adam says, they were already denying the word. In the first church age. They were already denying the word. And setting up their own creeds and philosophies instead of the word. Now this is the first church age. We've not even made it to the last church age. The darkest of all the church ages. He says, and I read this the other day and it blew me away. To be anti-word, page 84. To be anti-word is to be anti-Jesus. To be anti-word is to be anti-Christ. Because the Spirit and the Word are one. You realize this is the only age that 1 + 1 is equal to 1? One plus one normally equals 2. I and the Father are one. 1 + 1 is equal to 1. Because the Spirit and the Word are one. If you're anti-Word, you have to be anti-Christ. Listen, and if it started in the first church, it'll have to grow until the end when it takes over. Are you with me? Now, it's easy to get a wrong impression of what we're talking about. Because I'm making this so strong, he said. It could sound to you as though this anti-word, anti-Christ spirit is a complete repudiation of the word. A complete rejection of the word. A denial of the Bible. Culminating in its rejection. No, sir. No, sir. It's not that. Then he reads Revelation 22, 18 and 19. It's the changing, listen. It's the changing of even just one word. By taking away or adding to it. It's the original trick of Satan in the Garden of Eden. He just added one little word to what God had said. That did it. It brought death and destruction. And in Ephesus, it was just the same, just a word added. Do you see how tricky this enemy is? Just a word added, just a word taken away, and the anti-word, anti-Christ spirit began to flourish. My God, friend. Now do we see how important it is to stay fortified behind the word? Huh? To stay fortified behind the word. The word is our protection. The word is our defense. Amen. Stay behind the word. I don't care what people say. Well, he really didn't mean this and he really didn't mean that. Don't believe it for one second. Reject the devil. Shun the devil. So if it's just one word, how long did it take the serpent in the Garden of Eden to deceive Eve? Ten virgins in the 144,000. Many are like Eve. Eve just stopped long enough to be deceived. If she hadn't have stopped, there'd never been no deceiving. But Eve stopped, and when she stopped, there's where she got her deceiving instead of pressing on. Eve stopped long enough. At one place, Brother Branham said she stopped just for a moment. Not for time for a whole church service. Not time to search what everybody's saying against the message. One moment. Friend, she stopped one moment. And the fall in the garden occurred. Why? Because she listened to what the serpent had to say. Friends, I encourage you tonight, don't stop for one moment. Press on. Keep going. Don't turn around. Don't stop to listen to these liars that's left this message. Keep moving. He said, many are like Eve. Could it be the ones that say this message is false are like Eve? They stopped long enough to be deceived. Well, Brother Andrew, this is for the older people. This is for the younger people. This is for everybody. He's not after the older people. He knows most of the time they're anchored in the Word and he can't get to them. But he goes for the young people. Huh? Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to my tricks. Listen to my lies. But we have been called to rise above it, friends. Rise above it and move forward. She stopped, and when she stopped, there's where she got her deceiving instead of pressing on. Notice, instead of pressing on, she stopped. I want to drive that home. She stopped. When God convicts you of something and lays it up on your heart to do it, don't let anything stop you from getting to doing it. Huh? Don't let anything stop you. That's what the devil wants to do. He knows if you come to a good church service and you hear the word preached and something convicts you in your soul to stop doing this, to stop wearing that, to stop looking like this, to stop watching that. Come on, friends. To stop doing all these things. He knows if he can get to you between the time you leave the altar of that pew and the time you get back home. Huh? He knows, well then, I'll just take their memories we talked about last time. I'll get them to forget. And they'll just keep on going the same lifestyle. Christ died for us to be more than that. He died for us not to be lost. He died. He died not for us to live under our privileges. Do you realize the price tonight of being real? Huh? Do we really realize tonight the price of being real? I'll put in a simple illustration. How many goes to Walmart and grocery shops or anywhere? Well, the rest of y'all do starve. Huh? You go buy something. On the shelf, there's a pack of cookies. This is simple. I know it's simple. There's a pack of cookies. And there's another pack of cookies. One says Chips Ahoy. And the other says Great Value Ahoy. Huh? Now you look at those two boxes of cookies. One says $3.48, almost $4. And the other says $2.50. Huh? Well, it's going to be a whole lot more easier on somebody to pay $2.50. Yeah, this is simple. I know it is. Pay $2.50 and get the cheaper brand and not taste the goodness of the Chips Ahoy cookies. Can you imagine when Jesus Christ died for us? Huh? He could have went for the generic. He could have called 10,000 angels and said, I'm not going to do this. When he was in the garden that night and he prayed for mercy. He cried out for mercy. Realize this tonight, friends. Our Lord Jesus got down and asked for mercy. And for some odd reason, some people think it's a shame to ask for mercy. When my Lord asks for mercy, it gives me more strength and power to get down on my knees and ask for mercy, friends. Huh? Well, Brother Andrew, you might have tasted the Chips Ahoy. They taste real good. Now, those generics are going to try to be as close to the original as they can be. They're going to try to make the paper look the same color. They're going to try to make everything look just right so it'll get your attention. When you went to the store on your notepad, you had one box of Chips Ahoy cookies. But you got there and you stopped long enough. You stopped long enough to see the generic brand and that they were cheaper, and you stopped and got them. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to see your healing. He wants you to see your deliverance. But he wants to get your mind off of it long enough that you'll sit right there in those pews and not get one thing. But be stronger than the devil and go all the way for the original, friends. Go all the way for the original. It's worth it. It tastes better. It lives better. It is worth it. I don't know about you, but I want the original tonight. I want the original. I don't want some wishy-washy. My man said this message will take your jelly bone out and put a backbone in. Wishy-washy. One day I'm going to say amen, the word and pat my hands. The next day, I don't know. That's wishy-washy. Stop being wishy-washy. It's time to be original. It's time not to be generic. I'll say it tonight. We've been generic long enough. There's some people out here looking for the original. And if they're going to see the original Christ in this day, in this hour, they're not going to find it in some denominational lodge. They'll find it sitting right here on these pews tonight. Why? Because we're not birthed by some incubator. We are birthed by the original Word of God. Brother Adam said, I always did feel sorry for an incubator chicken. It don't know where it come from. It don't know where it's going. It don't know where it's at. Kind of like a lot of church people. Where'd you come from? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. Guessing. Stop guessing. Be original. Huh? Say you've got a car that calls for a certain motor oil. Huh? Say it calls for Castrol. You go to the garage and they're running a sale on All of Us or something cheap. I don't know. Huh? And you take the cheap oil. Oh, I'm going to save $5. And it locks your engine up. You end up paying a whole lot more getting a new engine in it than you would have by putting the original oil in it. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, don't you realize what it is? These church people have lived off of a generic Holy Ghost. They've never got a real Acts 2:38 experience. They've just lived off what mama said and daddy said and uncle said and grandpa said. And what's happened? Their engine's locked up. Their Holy Ghost has run out. But tonight, friends, young people, we're privileged tonight not to fill ourselves with a generic Holy Ghost, but to fill ourselves with the original. The original experience. The original upper room. Huh? You think an alcoholic knows they can get drunk off of an expensive brand of alcohol? They're going to go buy some cheap brand. And it don't do no it near as good as if they had took the original brand and pay a little more. And pay a little bit more and got drunk. They'd have felt a lot better. What are you saying, Brother Andrew? Stop substituting a real experience for some wishy-washy experience that don't make you feel good. It's always got you frowning. You're never happy. You never got no joy. You never love the Lord. You just sing songs to be singing them. We need a real birth, friends. Hallelujah. A real Pentecostal experience of the living God. I don't know about you tonight, but in order to go forward, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to pay the price, not to have some fake, not to have some generic, but to have the real oil. Hallelujah. To have the real stuff, friends. I remember my elementary school. Across the road from the school was a package store. I remember one day it was raining. My great-grandfather picked me up from school that day. We was pulling out the drive or the parking lot, and we crossed the road and we drove by that package store. It was pouring down rain. And this poor little old woman, she come out there with two big old paper bags full of alcohol, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it was raining. She couldn't hardly see. She was doing her best to pack those two things of alcohol out there so she could go home and get drunk. I looked at my great-grandfather. I said, wonder why she's doing that. He said she'll go home and get drunk and lay on the floor and look at that wall and say, I'll climb it if it takes me all night. I thought, oh my God, friends, if that's what it does for the natural person, the natural wine will make somebody lay in the floor and look at a wall and say, I'll climb that wall if it takes me all night. What about the original word born, predestinated seed of Almighty God? We ought to get so drunk tonight that we lay in these floors and we cry out to God and say, if it takes me all my life, I will make a rapture. If it takes me all my life, I'll make a rapture. Whatever it takes me, I'm going to do it. I want to be original.
Well, the devil's trying to do this bride. He's trying to deceive us into buying some generic Holy Ghost. He's trying to get us and deceive us into believing some of these lies. But as that song said, I've walked through the valleys, I've climbed the mountains, and I've come too far to look back now. When those two angels went down to Lot and Sodom and said, come out, don't look behind you. In our day, to Abraham's seed, our prophet messenger come and cried out to us, Babylon, the great is fallen, is fallen. Come out of her, my people.
Yes, sir. Come out of her.
Just as the angel messenger warned Lot and Lot's wife and children, look not behind thee. We have been warned. Don't look back. Don't look back. Keep moving forward. Are you with me tonight? Huh? See, the devil knows if he takes our fire that we won't have influence. But there, he knows if he takes the fire out of us, how are we going to have influence on people out there? I've always loved what Brother Donnie said. People look at you and say, don't you want what I got? And they ain't got no joy, no happiness, no peace. Be honest with you, I don't want what you got. Come on, friends. The Bible says we'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. But if he can take our fire out and put the fire out in here, he's done what he wants to do. Remember Brother Branham telling a story, I believe it's in the message, partner, the token one. He said a little boy walked in one day to a bartender. Walked up to this bartender, he said, sir, your sign's down. Said, my sign's down. Said, yeah, the sign out there, it's down. He went out there, looked up, said it, Brother Branham said, it's a big, nice neon sign. Said he looked up at that sign, took his apron, polished it off, come back in, said, sonny, you're crazy, my sign's still up. He said, no, sir, your best sign. Well, that didn't go over too well. No, sir, your best sign. What was his best sign? He had paid a lot of money to put that sign up there with neon lights to get people's attention to come in and say, here's a bar, come in and get drunk. He said, what's my best sign, sonny? He said, that boy, the man that just walked out here, he was so drunk he fell off in a ditch. That's your best sign. All friends tonight, do you realize the best sign of this church? It's not the sign that hangs out on the road or the sign that hangs out on the door. The best sign of this church, the best sign of life is when somebody walks out of this church so intoxicated on the power of the Holy Ghost that they go to talking different. They go to walking different. Why? Because they're under the influence. They're under the influence. When church people walk out of denominational churches,
Oh, I'm so confused. Don't know if we got to go to council, general conference, convention. What do we got to go to? We walk out here, can't wait to take a rapture. Didn't you enjoy the service tonight? Didn't you get something from God? Why? Because we're under a different influence. Do you believe it tonight? We're under a different influence. We're not influenced by the world. We're not influenced by the generic. We're influenced by the Holy Ghost. St. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand on the plow and looking back. That's a hard saying. Jesus stood there and preached those hard sayings. They turned around and walked off. Jesus looked at the rest of them. Will you go also? Who spoke up, Peter? To whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Let me ask you a question tonight, friends. If we leave the revealed word of the hour, the true word, proven, vindicated, fulfilled. If we walk off and leave it, what are we going to? What's better to go to? There's nothing better to go to. It's like the lady said when her husband was looking for a washer and a dryer, he saw frigid air. He said, it's the best one I've seen. I don't want to look no further. Now, 1965, Brother Branham said in Thinking Man's Filter, because down in your soul, there was a predestinated seed, which always was there, always laying in there. And in the church age book, he come back and said, to be reborn, you got to have a seed there to be reborn by. Huh? When the word quickened that seed in your soul, I got the quote here, but I won't take time to read it. Brother Branham said it like this. I'll read it, just this little portion. He said, then after you recognize the very word of God was eagle food, then you left the other thing. You left the other thing. You have then been formed into the living image of the living God. You heard. But we heard from our theophany. Oh, friends, do you know why when we go through trials and we go through tests and we go through situations, we go through struggles, we go through tormenting spirits, we fight every devil out of hell. You know what makes us get up and go on? We've heard. Hallelujah. We've heard from our theophany, and there ain't nothing can talk us out of it now. When you reject this word, you can't move forward. You're moving backwards. There's been a catchy saying around for some time. Keep your eyes on the prize. He said, I know I'm battling at it. He said, and I know I'm trying to, talking about people, possessions, possessing stuff. He said, I'm trying to make a footstep. Before I make a footstep, I have to cut loose every tangle, greenbrier, everything else to get out of the way. But every time you make a step, you're advancing forward. That's encouraging. I can't see no progress. I can't see no difference. Just make a step. Are you with me tonight, friends? I'm getting ready to close. But every time you look around and you think, man, I went to church tonight. And I wanted something from God. But that old devil beat me down. That old devil told me I wasn't saved. Told me God didn't love me. Told me just throw up my hands and quit. What am I even trying for anyhow? But you look behind you. You made a footstep. How'd I make a footstep? By coming to the house of God. A lot of people don't even make them footsteps anymore. Make a footstep, come to the house of God. Then you can look back to the devil and say, I made one footstep. And if I made one, God will help me make another. And if he helps me make another, I'll make another one and another one until finally I step out of this old tabernacle. Into my theophany. Why? Because I've heard from my theophany. He said, but every time you make a step, you're advancing forward. Amen. Just take the knife and cut it. Take the knife and cut it. Why don't we tonight take our knife and do some cutting? Take our knife and do some cutting off of our lives.
You realize when Elisha kept his eyes on Elijah, because when he seen Elijah go away, he got a double portion of what Elijah had. Huh? They didn't fit the garment or fit the man to fit the garment. Huh? I got that backwards. They didn't fit the garment to fit the man. They fit the man to fit the garment. I'll close with this in Philippians 3:14. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Remembering those things which are behind. No. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. As the musicians are coming tonight in question answers, he says, a Christian, don't try to be what he used to be. He's not looking where he's been. He's looking where he's going. He believe it tonight. He's not looking where he's been. He's looking where he's going. See, don't pay no attention to what you was then. You've done live that out. You'll never return to it. That's in the past. And any man that drives life's road looking through a rearview mirror will go to a wreck. And you will on this Christian road, don't look back what you was, look what you're going to be. Don't look back what you was, look and see what am I going to be. Do you believe it tonight? He realized, Brother Branham said, when Jesus looks at you, he don't see your mistakes. He don't see your failures. He sees the blood. You might have not said amen all night long, but that right there is worth saying amen. Thank you, Lord. He don't see me. He don't see you. He sees the blood. Thank God. He don't see what you done yesterday. He don't see what you done a year ago. He sees the blood. And he says, walk you there in it. You see the blood is over your life. Move forward, bride. When the woman caught in the very act of adultery and they brought her before Jesus. Huh? Lord, stone her. That's what the law of Moses says. Do stone her. But what did Jesus do? He said, ye without sin cast the first stone. Now what really come alive to that story about me was, if you really read it really close, Jesus stooped down in the sand and began to write in the sand as though he heard them not. He was writing as though he wasn't even hearing what they were saying. We called her Jesus. We saw her Jesus. She done this Jesus. But Jesus wrote as though he didn't even hear what they were even saying. The Bible said he stooped down again and they heard what he wrote. Can you imagine why he was down there writing? He was looking and saying, weren't you with so-and-so a couple weeks ago? And didn't you do so-and-so years ago? And weren't you involved in this years ago? And by the time Jesus got done writing, all her accusers were gone. There wasn't a one of them around to be found. We serve a God that loved us enough to do that. For that little lady that was caught in the very act of adultery. Well, let me say it like this tonight. If Jesus cared enough for a woman caught in the very act of adultery to stoop down and write in the sand as though he heard him not and as though you never done it in the first place, I believe Almighty God has come in this place again tonight to write in the sand once again. It's as though you never done it in the first place. Quit looking at what's behind you. Quit worrying about what you've gone through. Young people, quit listening to what the devil said. You did this and you did that. And older people, quit listening to the devil. And let's move forward tonight. Stand to your feet with us. Stand up. Let's move forward tonight. God's children don't go backwards. We go forward tonight. Is there any believers in here tonight that says, I'm not going backwards. I'm not going back to what I used to be. I know I'm not what I am, but I'm sure not going back to what I used to be. I'm moving forward tonight.
The Bible tells us the children of Anak, Joshua thought he had exterminated all of them. But one showed up in David's day. Goliath of Gath. Doubtless to say he was a descendant of the children of Anak. So when they thought they'd exterminated all of them, they'd killed all of them, one showed up. It's just like the devil. When you feel like you've killed everything and you put every devil under your foot and you feel like I'm finally getting my head above the water and I'm moving forward to what God's called me to be, there's always that one Goliath that stands up and says, oh, but I'm still here. I'm still in front of you. I'm still in front of you. I'm still here to torment you. I'm the accuser of the brethren. I accuse you before God day and night. But let me tell you something, friends. There's coming a day. Hallelujah. There's coming a day, Brother Darrell. There's coming a day, Brother Terry, when that lying devil's going to be put under our feet. Goliath of Gath raised up his head before David. He raised his head up before the wrong person. Because David wasn't anointed to run. David was anointed to fight. And church tonight, we're not anointed to run. We're anointed to stand our ground and fight for what God has given us. Anointed to stand. Anointed to fight. Anointed to press forward, friends. That Goliath raised up before David, and David said, you defy the armies of the living God. And this day, I'll take your head off. Hallelujah, friends. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight, hallelujah, that'll raise your voice before God and before that liar that accuses you day and night and say you've raised your head up tonight, buddy, in front of the wrong person. I've been anointed. I've been called and chosen to take your head off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How am I going to take his head off? Move forward in the word. Don't stop to listen to the devil. Don't turn around. There's more on the other side. Seems like any more than there are still here. They're crossing every day to their reward. But they, without us, are not complete. Oh, friends, it may look like everything's saying, stay here. You're not going to make it, but you've got an influence. Hallelujah, Brother West. We've got an influence on the other side that's crying louder than the lying devil here. And they're saying, you can make it. You can make it. You're going to overcome. You're going to overcome. Come on, little bride. Come on, little bride. You're almost home. You're almost home. You've almost stopped the devil. You've almost destroyed him. You're almost home. Hallelujah. You're getting ready to put your feet on the shores of heaven. You're almost home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're almost home tonight, friends. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. We're almost home tonight, friends. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight, God. Lord, there's so many lying vanities in this day and so many devils to try to get us to stop just long enough to turn around and go back to what we used to be. Go back to how the devil controlled our lives and told us what to do and we lived in chains of fear and darkness. But Lord, your word come that we could be free. Your word comes so that we could press forward and not do like Eve done, as your prophet said, many are like Eve. They stop long enough to be deceived. But oh God, we thank you tonight, Father, for a seed on the inside of our soul that cannot be deceived. The elect cannot be deceived. We thank you for it tonight, Lord. We praise you tonight, God. Oh, how the enemy would love to just try to discourage us and turn us around and say we're not going to make it. We're not good enough. But we're already made it. We're already overcomers. The grace of God has come to our lives. And that seed on the inside of us was quickened. And we've heard from our theophany. And we left the other thing. And we're moving forward onto what God's got for us tonight.
Oh God, I pray if there be anybody among us tonight, Lord, that may be on the very verge of throwing up their hands and saying, I can't do it anymore. I can't make it. It's just too hard. I pray tonight by the grace of Almighty God that your spirit come to them tonight and encourage them tonight, Lord, to keep pressing on, to keep moving forward. Oh God, we've come too far to turn back now. We've walked through the valleys. There seems so much unhappiness in this world. There's nothing worth having in this world. And in the name of Jesus tonight, we press on to victory. We press on to glory. We're going to fight with everything that's within us. We're not going to turn around and go back. We're not going to bring up evil reports. We're going to move forward in the name of Jesus. God, I pray you strengthen your bride here tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray again for Brother Donnie tonight, Lord. Strengthen him and touch his body, Father. Take this sickness out in the name of Jesus, I pray. Restore his strength and bring him back, God, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there be any sick among us tonight, God, that your spirit would heal them tonight, Lord. If there be any bound tonight, that the spirit would set them free. That they could walk out them doors tonight and know, I have been with the Master. I have been set free. The Master has come and the Master has called for me, and I went and responded to the call. I felt the pull, and Satan, I may not make many footsteps. I may not make 10 at a time, but if I can just get myself to make one, I'll know I've done what God wants me to do. Encourage your children tonight, I pray, Lord. Help us all tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight, friends? Do you really love him tonight? Are you thankful for his word? I know it was chopped up, I'm sorry, but I pray something was said to help and encourage you tonight. Would you sing in Christ alone? In Christ alone. As Brother Harry sings this verse, if anybody needs prayer, come tonight, we'll pray for you. God bless you, Brother Harry.
In Christ alone will I glory, though I can pride myself in battles won. I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand. But those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find grace I am redeemed, and only his tender mercies could reach beyond my weakness to my need. Now I seek no greater honor than just to know him more, and to count my gains as losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of love. In every victory, let it be said.
If the folks that are planning on getting baptized tonight, if you'd like to go ahead and come and be making ready, I think there's three folks, and Brother Wes is going to come and go ahead and be making ready for the baptism.
In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is in Christ alone. I place Christ alone. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying that I'm homeward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. And fears dismay, though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
Because when she was a small child, she got baptized, and looking back on that, she just wants to come back and revisit the first work. This young sister's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost by her testimony, and she just wants to come tonight and stand before the body and take the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in this age, it doesn't come without a cost. You know, before, a young sister could come and she could take the name of the Lord and be baptized and raised up in the newness of life, and people pat her on the back. They'd tell her what a great thing it was she did. They'd shed a tear of joy for her. But tonight, we have to shed a tear of sorrow in one way. And yet, it's a victory. Because she may not be patted on the back. She may be called a fool or an idiot, a superstitious numbskull. She may face persecution because of what she's standing for and because of the name that she's taken. But that's the calling of this hour, and my sister embraces that joyfully. And she's driving down the state tonight so that she can take the devil back and rub his nose in it whenever he tries to make her doubt her salvation or her faith. Sis, reach up here and hold your nose. Put your other wrist right here. Just grab hold of it right here. Sister Rachel, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that He shine His light of His Word on your path, and He show you and guide you by His Spirit through this dark age, through this gauntlet of terror, and give you great joy and peace, and that you just feel a joy that this dark world doesn't understand and can't comprehend. And I ask tonight, Lord, that you just drive that stake down in such a way that she can never forget it, and that she'll always have this time that she can come back and look to if she needs it, Lord. Help her to walk on like Brother Andrew was saying, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Sister Rachel was making this decision, her sister Sarah fell under the same conviction. Amen. Sister, based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now pray for you. Lord, we ask you to bless Sister Sarah. Lord, she's a quiet spirit. And she doesn't like a lot of hoopla. And Lord, we just commend her into your hands to guide and to hold and to raise as you see fit, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, accept my sister. Fill her with your Holy Ghost, Lord. Take her onto that seal, Father. Sister, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Brother Michael Morrison. Comes to us from the Baptist Church. He's been struggling with water baptism and wrestling with the Lord on it. The Lord got him down today and put a chokehold on him. Convicted his heart. He knows full well, walking into this with eyes wide open, that he has taken the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And that he does not plan on doing that in vain. And I asked him, I said, do you realize that there's a promise associated with taking his name in baptism? And he said, yes, that's what I want. He wants that life. So we're going to agree with him right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we call out to you and we ask you, Lord, to just simply keep your word and fulfill the promise that you gave us in Acts 2:38. As my brother opens his heart to your word and comes here obediently, Lord, following you, after his study, Lord, he found it. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus was the only way you did it. And he rejects the way that the world and the denominations do it, Lord. And he opens his arms to you and takes you in his full embrace, Lord, accepting your word. And Lord, I ask you now, when you give him that promise, give him that assurance, Lord, so he knows that this was the place where he drove down his stake tonight, that the devil can never challenge him on his salvation, Lord. Brother Michael Morrison, based on your profession of faith, brother, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Are all hearts clear tonight? If there's anybody else, this water's ready. Amen. God bless you all.
saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve. I'm saved by grace. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way, but Jesus shined a light on me. He turned on my night today. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve. I'm saved by grace. Sing it as you go tonight. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. And when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. Gonna sing redemption's story of how He brought us to the other side. So when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. Gonna sing redemption's story, how He brought us to the other side. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name's in the book of life. Sins are washed away. Saved by grace. Saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.